what you're doing. And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, good evening. Welcome to the program, Thursday night edition, Uncensored Radio Free America. We explore various issues and topics and bring you the most comprehensive program on issues that I think we can. We try to be very abrupt, very direct, very to the point, and yet substantive as well. Now, tonight, I'm just going to shift gears a little bit and depart from the usual subjects that we deal with virtually every night here, and they include the Lost Treaty, the ENDA, anti-discrimination amendment, and all of the other things that we discuss on a daily basis, the so-called homegrown terrorism bill, and all of the plethora of issues in the Congress of the United States that has to come up every single week we deal with. And tomorrow night, of course, we will have D.V. Kidd. She's our scheduled guest, and we'll double confirm that, hopefully, to talk about her columns on newswithviews.com and the issues that are creating a new world order around us that is leading up to some prophetic times of evil in the United States and in the world. And of course, the Congress of the United States and the Bushes are right smack in the middle of all of that evil. So we'll talk about that tomorrow night. But tonight, we're going to have a program with two points of view on the scriptures and on the scriptural evidence of creation, the creation of the world, the creation of the earth, the creation of all life. And we're going to have, when we come back from the first break, we'll have two guests. One, Mike Riddle, and of course his website is answersingenesis.org. And on the program also will be a regular, Gene Smith. And his website is thebibletruthman.com. So we will have two points of view that will agree and disagree, I think, and get a little diverse on what the scriptures actually say about creation. But that should be very interesting, by the way. And in the second hour, we'll make room for some calls from our listeners who have questions for both our guests. So when I come back from the break, I'll introduce Mike more, I think, because many of you already know Gene Smith quite well from the program, who's here on a regular basis. So if you do have questions after you hear the first hour or so of the discussion tonight, then if you have questions, jot down the number 800-313-9443. And I will ask the questions of the guests and get an answer on the same question from each of them. And then after I finish with some of the basic questions, I think they may wish to talk to each other a little bit about a few things pertaining to Bible definitions, Bible translations, words in the scripture, the meaning, the exegesis, eisegetics, all of that tonight on the program. We only have 2 hours, and this debate could go on, or this discussion could go on probably for, well, maybe for millennia. Who knows, right? Who should know? All right, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, Uncensored Radio Free America. We'll be right back with our guests and our topic tonight, creation. We'll do that in just 3 minutes, and stay tuned.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
And we are back now, and I'm going to bring to the microphones our two guests tonight, Gene Smith, TheBibleTruthMan.com, and Mike Riddle from Answers in Genesis. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Rick.
Well, how are you tonight?
I'm doing very fine,
good.
Thank you.
Very good. Mike, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the website Answers in Genesis. I see it describes itself as an apologetics, i.e. Christianity defending ministry.
That's correct. The website actually won awards last year for being one of the top Christian websites. We get over 1 million visitors a month.
Mm.
And again, it's answersingenesis.org. We have... you can get resources there. You can find out how to get seminars at your place. We also have over 5,000 articles you can download for free, all categorized, so it makes it nice and easy to find. But again, we are an apologetics ministry defending work with a lot of creation evolution, but our primary focus is upholding the authority of God's Word from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
Do we really trust it or not?
Yes. We're getting a little bit of snow in the background. Is that a cell phone you're on?
No, it's actually a landline phone.
Landline, okay. Try to speak up a little bit more if you can, just a little bit more volume there so we can hear you better.
Okay, I will do that.
All right, very good. And Gene Smith, of course, we know your ministry, too. You are very active in getting into the Word, and you're certainly ministry has been exemplified on your website, BibleTruthMan.com. So welcome again, Gene.
Thank you very much. Yeah, my website doesn't mean that I have the truth. It means I get the truth from the Bible, and that's what we have to do. And I know Mr. Riddle would agree with me on this, and we can't agree that the Bible is the Word of God the Father in Christ Jesus.
Yes. And, I think the best place to begin here is with the premise that I guess obviously you gentlemen will agree with, that evolution to account for the creation of the world and the creation of all of human life is a pretty silly theory. I think you'll both agree to that, right?
Yes. That's true.
Absolutely. I would agree 100%.
All right. Very good. Now comes the meat of the question. I note that you believe, Mike Riddle, that the Bible teaches basically a young earth, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in relative terms, of course. And you seek to expose the bankruptcy of evolutionary ideas and its bedfellow, a millions of years old earth and even older universe. Can you explain that now, exactly what you mean by that?
Well, what we mean by that is, number one, we uphold the authority of Scripture as our main source of evidence, because we do firmly believe, without adding or subtracting anything from God's Word, that it does teach that the earth is not very old, nor is the universe. Now, we also have a second source of knowledge God has revealed to us, and that is His creation. We believe that the battle is not between science and the Bible, because since God created all the science, therefore our correct understanding of science will always support His Word. And we do have abundant amount of evidence to support a young earth scientifically. It's just a matter of we're trying to get that information out to the public.
Do you feel then that the only thing that the evolutionists have really in their arsenal is this idea of age, that is a universe that is countless of years old, and that age in and of itself in millions and billions and trillions of years can account for evolution in their minds, and therefore as a result we should automatically dismiss age because that would imply evolution. Is that basically right?
To an extent, it is right. We don't dismiss age because of that. We dismiss age because of the biblical teaching and then science. Mm-hmm. But the underpinning part of evolution, yes, age is a key part of the evolution model. It's a pivotal part of evolution model. What we have to do is look at the foundation for evolution. What is the basic presupposition? And that is materialism.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ideology that all that exists in this universe is mass and energy. There are no supernatural beings, no miracles. That is the underlying foundation of evolution. That's one of the things we're trying to get across to people. This is not just a funny little story. The evolution is an attack on the gospel of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. not just the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, where in the Scriptures do you find the definition or the reference to the age of the universe?
Well, we get it in several places.
Okay.
Number one, we have to look at developing a biblical worldview. We look at that means we're going to start with God's Word as our source, because if we don't start with God's Word, then we're elevating something else higher than God's Word. So we find it in the definition of the word day in the Bible. We find overwhelming evidence for the word day when we look at exegesis, when we look at hermeneutics. For instance, in Genesis, we always see the word day, the Hebrew word yom, preceded by a number, 1, 2, 3, 4, and all the number. We also see that God defined the day, evening and morning. We also see that He wrote it down in the Ten Commandments that a day was, that He created everything in 6 days. So the word day there has a definite meaning of a day. And everywhere in the Old Testament where God precedes this with a number or puts it in a phrase evening and morning, it only means a short period of time. It actually never, ever means a long period of time mm-hmm. in the Old Testament. So we take that to mean a day. Now, also in the New Testament, in the Mark 10, verse 6, Jesus Christ makes a very profound statement in Mark 10, verse 6, where he says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." What Jesus is saying there is that from the beginning of the creation, man and woman were on the planet, which leaves really no time for evolution at all. Then we can take a look at the genealogies in Genesis chapter 5, and when we line those up, it really wouldn't make any difference if there's any names missing, but you'd have to prove to me any names were missing in there. That would be conjecture. But we see that Adam was living at the same time as Noah's father, and Noah is living at the same time as Abraham's father. So actually their lifespans overlap there, which doesn't give the earth an old age at all. But the real question comes down to, why do we need long ages? Where is the criteria for long ages coming from? Is it coming from the Bible, or is it coming from an outside source? So we really have to look at that. That's the real question that comes out. Where is the criteria coming from for an old earth? I don't see it in the Bible. I don't think the down through the ages we never saw it in the Bible. It wasn't until modern evolutionary thinking that people and the churches started abandoning the young earth for old ages. And when I talk to people, over 99% of the time when I ask them, why do you want to believe in an old earth? I'm talking people in church now. Over 99% of the time, their first words are, because scientists have proven. Mm-hmm. That right there tells me they've elevated science higher than God's word, because mm-hmm. our first source as Christians should be God's word. What does God's word have to say first? Mm-hmm. And then we'll go back and look at the science.
Very interesting, yes.
So I think there's a lot of evidence there. And the real another question is, are long ages even necessary for what we observe? And the answer has to be no to that. We have a lot of evidence that long ages are not required for what we observe.
All right, now let's turn to Gene, and I know we have commercial breaks throughout the program, so you'll have to pardon us, but that's part of the program, obviously. Gene, you heard the questions, and you heard the discussion and the position of Mike. What do you feel the scriptures say in this regard to the age of the earth, the universe, the creation of all of it?
Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about the age of the earth, how old it really is. You can have a young earth go back beyond 6,000 years. And I believe the Bible teaches that it does, of course. And I don't believe that the Bible teaches that Adam and Eve were the first people on earth either. And if we want to get to the Bible, we have to get to the Bible, but we also have to go to the Hebrew, because the Bible was not inspired in English. And we have to go to the original language of the original Bible from Genesis to Malachi in Hebrew, and even in the New Testament in Greek at times. The King James Bible is what I use. It's a fairly good translation of the Hebrew and the Greek. I don't discount the New American Standard or the New International Version either, the Revised Standard Version. I just use the King James because I can use it with a lexicon. The age of the earth could be 10,000 years, and that's still a young earth. What I disagree with is the Judeo-Christian, Catholic, Judaism, Muslim viewpoint that Adam and Eve were the first people on earth, and the earth is only 6,000 years old, because the Bible doesn't say it's only 6,000 years old, and it doesn't say that Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. And, in fact, if you go to the first verse, of course, in Genesis, it talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now, we don't know when that was. It doesn't say 6,000 years ago. And there is a gap of time in the Hebrew between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. The verse 2 in the Hebrew, this is not my opinion, this is fact. The Dake Annotated Reference Bible, the Companion Bible, a lot of commentaries will tell you this also, that the original Hebrew says, and earth became a wasteland, a desolation, and void of life. Now, the Hebrew is Eretz Ayah Tohu Vabohu, and it pictures a cataclysmic time between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. science, I agree the Bible and science does not conflict, true science. And
Gene. We got the quick break. I'll let you finish that answer and thought, and then we'll go on to more of this discussion. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Mike Riddle is my guest. AnswersInGenesis.org. Gene Smith, TheBibleTruthMan.com. And we'll be back in 3 minutes to continue this fascinating discussion.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All righty, I'm back. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger here, the Paul Revere of talk radio, sounding the alarm. Gene Smith, you were just completing your thought, and you say, as well, science and the Bible do not conflict.
Well, evolution is not a true science. We all agree on that.
Yeah.
However, I do not agree with the Judeo-Christian, Catholic, Judaism, Muslim, the viewpoint of that Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. The earth's only 6,000 years old. I do agree that the days of Genesis 1 were literal 24-hour days,
yeah.
As Mike said. And what they don't understand, or apparently, is that in Genesis 1:1 we have the completion of the earth. It says God created the heaven and the earth. That's period, end of story right there. But between Genesis 1:1 and 2, we have a cataclysmic time. And this cataclysmic time is what killed the dinosaurs. Science knows this. They know the dinosaurs were killed in a mass extinction, basically in a short period of time. They know that giant meteors and asteroids could have hit this Earth. and destroy the dinosaurs, and a lot of them died as a result of that, even from a lack of food.
So we have here two creations, right?
Yeah, well, we have the original creation in Genesis 1:1. Then we have the recreation of the Earth and the Sun, the Moon, and our solar system from this cataclysmic event. Now, what caused the cataclysmic event? You study the Bible, you find out it was Satan's rebellion. And you go to Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, Revelation 12 talks about this.
Mm-hmm.
Even Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven in this battle." And this is what science does not know, because they don't take the Bible into consideration as to what caused this cataclysmic event that killed the dinosaurs. And, of course, this was before any human beings were created. And then that's why you have verse 2 saying in the Hebrew, the inspired Hebrew, "and the earth became a wasteland, a desolation, and void of life." And you go to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18, and it says that God did not originally create the earth a desolation, a wasteland. The same Hebrew word is tohu, meaning a wasteland, a desolation. And God did not originally create it that way. Why would he create the earth a desolation, a wasteland, and void of life?
Mm-hmm.
And so Isaiah 45:18 shows that something did happen between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, that Judeo-Christianity and Catholicism and Judaism and the Muslims do not address.
All right, let me ask Mike Riddle. Do you have a problem with that?
Yes, I would have several problems with that.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to point out one thing, just to make it clear to the audience that's listening, that both Gene and I do agree, and the central focus is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is true, and that's where we stand first.
Right.
Our disagreement comes in the creation account. There are several reasons I would disagree with that.
Okay, go ahead.
One is your Hebrew. I would not agree with your Hebrew, and neither would a lot of other Hebrew scholars out there, or translators and the linguists and lexicographers would not agree that word... this translate became. But here's some major problems with the gap theory. Number one is, why would you want to have a gap? What was the original reason for the gap? And secondly, once you have the gap, is that where you're putting the fossil record? I just need to understand your version of the gap theory, because there are many different versions of the gap theory.
Well, that's a question for you, Gene, before we go. I'm giving you the Hebrew, the Strong's Concordance, Jacinus's Hebrew Lexicon. Both very well lexicons to say that what I'm saying is correct. The Dake Annotated Reference Bible, the Companion Bible, a lot of commentaries will say that I'm correct in this Hebrew. No, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I don't have to be. I don't have to speak fluent Spanish to go to the Spanish dictionary and look up what a word means. And so the Hebrew is correct in verse 2. And I challenge anybody to offer any lexicon to show differently. Again, this explains what killed the dinosaurs. Judeo-Christianity does not have the answers to that in a 6,000-year-old earth. And they try to say that people live with dinosaurs. Well, you know, that's to me, neither here nor there. The problem is, in a 6,000-year-old earth, what killed all these dinosaurs, all these species? We have their fossils. We know they existed in many various kinds. And there's nothing in the geologic record, nor in the written historic record, beginning with the Sumerians, about any destruction of any giant creatures we call dinosaurs. But I challenge him to show from any Hebrew lexicon that I'm incorrect in my Hebrew. It says that the earth was filled with water in verse 2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was covered with water. Why can't we? I mean, that's just what it says. And this is the worldwide flood right here. And we don't know when it happened in our earth's history. It could be 10,000 years ago. It could be longer. But it's not. I don't believe in millions of years. No, not at all. But you can carbon date things back at least 10 to 12,000 years. So this explains from a scientific and biblical viewpoint what killed the dinosaurs, and the Bible and science go hand in hand in this.
Now, and, let me ask Mike, because we're going to have a break in a moment. But, Mike, when you come back, you can comment on what Gene has said. But also, what does the website and your organization, we have Answers in Genesis, what do you feel about the dinosaurs and how they relate to evolutionary theory? So we'll give you that chance when we come back, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Very interesting program. Mike Riddle is my guest and Gene Smith, and we're talking about the Bible and the act of creation. Very fascinating topic. And we'll take your calls in the next hour sometime. Please hold off for now. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you, because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Hitting them pretty hard and knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
All right, we're back now. Gene Smith, the Bible Truth Man, and we have Mike Riddle, Answers in Genesis. Mike, you heard what Gene just said now about his references to the scriptures and to the original Hebrew text. Apparently, there's a little dispute here about the meaning. Is that what you're saying?
I would definitely say there's some real dispute there.
Now, do you know the languages yourself? Are you a Greek and Hebrew scholar?
No, I am not either.
Okay.
But I have studied enough of the Bible. But here's some problems we have. I want to cover several of the things that Gene mentioned there.
Okay.
One is the Hebrew language. He keeps calling it a fact, and actuality is not when you look at the translation there. You look at the word translated Haya there, it's 1,320 times in the Old Testament it's translated was. Only 24 times it's translated became. Mm-hmm. Now, when is it translated became? The context has to warrant that. And in order to avoid ambiguity, there has to be a word preceding that, which is not there in that text there. So it's not a fact that it's translated became. That's erroneous there, because there's many lexicons out today. Matter of fact, Weston Fields, who is a professor of classic languages, has his Ph.D. and Ph.D., writes that recognized grammarians and lexicographers and linguists have almost uniformly rejected the translation became. Now, also, here's the other problem. Once you accept the gap theory and put fossil record in there, what you're saying is there's now this problem of death before sin, and you have to have a local flood. Because most gap theorists, what they're trying to do, and I don't know where you sit on that, Gene, so I'm just you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong.
You'll find out soon.
Are trying to put the fossil record in that gap. And that would mean there's millions of years or thousands of years or whatever of death before sin. Now, that has a great problem there, because once you put death before sin, then we blame God for all the death, decay, and destruction out there. And God says in Genesis 1:31 that his creation was very good, and the Hebrew there is exceedingly perfect. God creates things perfect. He didn't create it in decay and destruction. And also, you mentioned you go to the tohu bohu, and what that just basically means is formless and void. When you use it in other verses, you have to be very careful of the translation and the meaning there, because there we get into hermeneutics, and we're trying to force a translation from one place into another, and that's not true. You have to be very careful of that. But you also made mention, the fossil record and dinosaurs. The fossil record is a record of dead things. If death was before sin again, then we are blaming God for 9/11, Katrina, and why babies have problems, why they're born deformed, and when in fact it's the original sin, because the Bible clearly teaches death came through one man. And I know Romans 5:12 deals with the death of man, but Romans 8:20 through 22 deals with all creation groans because of what one man has done because of sin. And also the Bible clearly teaches that death is an intrusion into God's perfect creation, because in 1 Corinthians it says the last enemy is death. So it calls death an enemy, meaning that's not part of God's perfect creation. Now, you did mention the carbon-14 there, and I would really challenge you on carbon-14, because I've done a lot of work in that area, carbon-14. Matter of fact, I've written a lot on carbon-14. And carbon-14 does show a young Earth. Even though it can't be used to date rocks, the carbon-14 method does show an Earth that is not very old. For example, and let me go through a quick explanation of some of the things we found, and we can go into more later if we need to. But carbon-14 has a very fast half-life, about 5,730 years. We agree, both evolutionists and creationists, scientists, physicists agree, that after about 80,000 years, there's no datable carbon-14 anything. We know we'll never get down to zero, but we can't really detect enough to really date anything. So here's the problem. If we find carbon-14 in anything, we will assume that it's less than 80,000 years old. But if we find no carbon-14 in organic material, we can assume it's older than 80,000 years. Now, coal is supposed to be millions of years old. However, every sample of coal we take, and this is well documented, has measurable amounts of carbon-14, regardless of the layer in the geologic column we take it in. If we take it in the geologic column 500 million years, according to evolutionist thinking, we find carbon-14 in it. So every layer that we find coal in, we find carbon-14, measurable amounts and consistent amounts. Now, we can rule out contamination pretty carefully there with our new methods. Diamonds, which are pure carbon now, are supposed to be billions of years old, even though we can make those pretty good in a day. We can actually make carbon or coal in a week. That's not a problem. But diamonds, pure carbon, they're not going to be contaminated. Every sample of diamond we have taken, regardless of where we find it, contains measurable and consistent amounts of carbon-14 in it, showing that it can't be very, very old. Now, we could certainly go into the radioisotope dating methods. I prefer to not to do that at this point, but the radioisotope dating methods do show Earth not much older than about 6,000 years. Now, you mentioned dinosaurs. Now, dinosaurs, if they did live before Adam and Eve and died out before Adam and Eve, that, again, is death before sin. And that is very foundational to the gospel message there, death and sin.
Let me just interject
just add one more thing. We have overwhelming evidence that dinosaurs have not been dead that long. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, what would cause all those fossils? It's called a worldwide flood, which better fits description than long, slow periods or anything else. It had to be a worldwide flood, because that's what you would find, a worldwide flood. Millions and billions of dead things buried in layers of water, laid down by water sediments.
I think that's
evolution can't account for that.
In Genesis, the gap between 1 and 2, so to speak. But let me just ask you this. Because of life, dying before Adam and before the creation, is it because life simply died, or was it because God destroyed? In other words, he felt obligated to destroy what was there before. There's a difference, you see, between a natural life and death cycle and the intentional destruction by the Father. So that's what I'm asking. Which one are you saying now?
I am saying that there was no death, no biblical death before, and now I say
but
biblical
death. Was there the destruction of life by God?
No. The Bible does not say that. The only way to get that in there is you have to add to God's Word. There's no mention anywhere in the Bible of any death before
death. So now what existed in your view then between 1 and 2, Genesis 1, 1 and 2?
Between 1, 1 and 2, you see the word, you see the conjunction there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void.
Right.
And then it goes right on. It's a continuous thing. Now, the real question I would put as a Christian is not the millions and billions of years. If we're thinking biblically, mm-hmm. we need to ask the question, why did God take so long as 6 days to create everything? You see, in here we have no mention anywhere in the Bible of a recreation. But we have three chapters in Genesis, almost four chapters, of a worldwide flood. Now, if you have a gap, you cannot have a worldwide flood, because the worldwide flood would be responsible for the fossils. It's either the Genesis flood caused all the fossil record, mm-hmm. or it's a lot of long periods of time caused the fossil record. Mm-hmm. We have to make a choice there, because you can't have old ages and a worldwide flood. The two just won't go together.
All right. Now, let me give Gene a chance to respond to what you have said, and then we'll have to move on to the second question in line here so we can continue our construct. But, Gene, go ahead. Now, respond to what Mike has just said.
Well, I'm talking about death of animals. I'm not talking about death of people. And it was caused by Satan's rebellion, as the Bible clearly teaches in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, and Revelation 12. And even Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And I stand by my Hebrew. Strong's Concordance, the strongest Strong's Concordance, which is written in 1998, not exactly ancient. We have Justinius's Hebrew lexicon, a very scholarly Hebrew lexicon, used in every seminary. Then we have New Wilson's Old Testament Word Studies, that say I'm correct in what I'm saying, and I challenge anybody to go to those sources and see if they don't say what I say. Aya is used, it's translated became 67 times in the Hebrew scriptures. It's translated become 66 times. It's translated came and came to pass 505 times, and it's translated come to pass 131 times. And that's by Dake Annotated Reference Bible, a very scholarly source also. So I'm quoting here scholarly sources, and that I challenge anybody to show this wrong about what I'm saying about the Hebrew here in verse 2. And Tohu does mean a wasteland and desolation. Would God originally create the planet Earth a wasteland and in desolation? And Bohu means void of life. From life, you can't have a void of life if you didn't have life previously. And Genesis 1:28 says that God replenished the earth. And mm-hmm. replenish means you have to have something there previously in life form mm-hmm. in order to replenish it later. And that word replenish does mean replenished in that verse, as it does in other scriptures that I could give, but for lack of time I won't. But you can find them in Isaiah and Ezekiel also, where it's used the same Hebrew word mala for replenished. And So I'm not talking about the death of people. I'm talking about the death of dinosaurs that do not sin. Animals do not sin. Sin, the wages of sin is death for people, not for animals. My dog or cat's not going to go to hell and burn forever and ever, as Judeo-Catholicism teaches people do, because they sin. They do not sin. So I'm talking about death of animals, not death of people, before the creation of people in Genesis chapter 1. And also the fact that, of course, Adam and Eve were not the first people created. There were pre-Adamic people created before Adam and Eve. And, you know, you could have a 10,000-year-old earth again, like I say, and still have a young earth. You do not have to have a 6,000-year-old earth to have a young earth. And the worldwide flood is right here in verse 2. God's Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The earth was covered with water. That's what it says right here clearly, and even in the King James English. This is the worldwide flood, not the time of Noah. There's no geologic record of any worldwide flood in the 24th century B.C., the time of the flood of Noah. And you can't make it happen there either, in the geologic record. There's no geologic record that says there's a worldwide flood in the 24th century B.C. There's civilizations that were born and lived right through that time. And Jesus even said the lineage of Cain in Matthew 23:33-35 lived right through the lineage of Noah also.
All right,
and
I know
that
you,
like.
Eugene, do not believe in a universal, second universal flood. You believe that was a geographical area, right?
Well, yes, it was a regional area. It was a large area, but it was no worldwide flood at all. The Hebrew word translated earth is eretz, and it's translated over 1,600 times in the Hebrew scriptures as a country, a land area. And so there's no evidence that that word should be translated the planet Earth there and the account of Noah and the flood.
All right. Let's do this now, because we can go on back and forth, obviously, on definitions and words. But let me move on now, because, Gene, you have raised another pivotal issue here, and that is pre-Adamic races. And I gather that, that Mike, you do not believe in that thesis. You believe that all of the people who have ever lived on the face of the earth came from two people in the Garden of Eden. That was Adam and Eve. Is that what you believe?
Yes. I'd like to know where he gets that in the Bible, where there was somebody
okay.
before Adam and Eve.
I'm sure that he will get into that as we go along. But tell us what you believe, and why do you believe that, given what science will say today about the genetic differences in all of the findings of life, from earliest, most primitive man and aborigines and so forth, the Bushmen, to European males, black race, the Oriental race. How is it possible for them all to come from the same two genetic parents?
Well, one, I want to make a correction there. And you say the different races. There's only one race. The Bible says we're all one blood. The whole idea of racism is more of an evolutionist philosophy. We're all one blood. We all come from Adam and Eve, and then after the flood, we came from Noah and his family there. And the Bible's pretty explicit on the worldwide flood, if you read Genesis chapter 7, the words. But the problem, we come from Adam and Eve, and we have something called genetic variability within us. We just look at the genetic variability we have in the human species today. It's one race again. There are no different races. We're different nations.
You're fading out a little bit,
but
Mike.
But we are one race.
You say that we're all of one race.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
How does that jive? How does that jive? The black in Africa with the white in Europe, the white in America, the Indian, the Oriental. I mean, how is it possible for you to look at everyone and say that they're all of one blood or one race?
Well, that's first of all, we all have 46 unique chromosomes. That's number one. We're all one species. How we get to look different is very easy. It's called genetic variability. When you get into genetics, there's a thing called melanin. We all have genetic capability for mm-hmm. melanin. Those with more genetic capability can have a darker shade skin. Those with less, like myself, more of a redhead, will have not the genetic capability to have mm-hmm. that much melanin. I can't get any darker. When I go out in the sun, I get pink, red, and peel and turn back to this color. I can't mm-hmm. get any darker.
Mm-hmm.
It's called genetic variability when you study the whole realm of genetics. So it's not a problem. And where that occurred is if you believe the Bible's history, and Jesus actually did believe the Bible history, and I'd still like to get an understanding of Mark 10, verse 6, where Jesus Christ says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, meaning man and woman were on the planet from the beginning of the creation. Jesus believed the history overwhelmingly. He believed that there was a flood. He believed that history of the Bible was very important. He constantly says, "Have ye not read?" And can I just point out one gross error there that Gene has made with the word replenish?
Yes, I want to hear your take on that. Go ahead.
That is a very incorrect statement. The word replenish is in the King James, but you have to remember, before the 13th century, the word meant replenish. But since the English word is actually undergoing a definition change, it was done that in 1611, the Bible. So the word replenish doesn't mean in the King James to refill, actually means to fill. And that's well documented there. If you go back and study the records there, replenish does not mean to refill. So that was an error there. But Adam and Eve are the first people. Then we have, eventually we come up to the Tower of Babel when man disobeys God. And they disobey God by not spreading out and filling the earth. However, God comes down and confuses their language. And what you would most likely do is go to people that you speak your own language. So we have the population being spread out now and when a group of part of the population goes to one place, they take part of the gene pool. Another group goes to another place, they take part of their gene pool. Then we have things called natural selection, which is a fact, but it has nothing to do with evolution. Natural selection has nothing to do with evolution. It actually destroys the whole evolution model when you understand how genetics and natural selection really work and how mutations work. But from that is where we start getting the different, different nations, and based on natural selection and genetic variability, we take on different characteristics, but we're still one species, one blood, as the Bible teaches. As creationists, and we don't believe in different races. Again, that's an evolution concept.
You don't believe in different blood types, huh? Well, that's interesting. Okay, we'll get into some of that, and we'll see what Gene Smith has to say from the Scriptures in response when we return with our two guests, Mike Riddle from the AnswersInGenesis.org site, and Gene Smith, the BibleTruthMan.com. Fascinating show. I'm Rick Adams.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me
now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Okay, we are back now with our two participants in the program tonight, Mike Riddle, AnswersInGenesis.org, and Gene Smith, TheBibleTruthMan.com. Very interesting differences here on Scripture, on interpretation, and on what the Bible actually says. Gene, you heard Mike say that we are all of one blood, that Jesus apparently in the Scriptures make no references to any difference in blood or race. We're all one. We're all of the same genetic makeup. Do you say the Scriptures teach that or not? I think I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Not at all. We're one blood, meaning we have red corpuscles, we have white corpuscles, but race goes beyond skin color. The different races have different features in their skull. Forensic science uses these differences to determine what racial person might have committed a crime. First of all, I want to say the word replenish. The Hebrew did not have anything like re. It just had the word plenish. But you use the context to determine if you say replenish, like establish. The Hebrew did not have a word for re-establish. It would just use establish. But the context showed that the King James translators knew that it should be refill or replenish because of the context. And there's several scriptures that have the word replenish where you have to use refill. It doesn't make any sense to just use the word fill. It had to be refill, but the Hebrew doesn't have a re there, so they had to put that into English, translating into English, that we do have reestablish, we do have replenish. And that's why they translated it replenish correctly. These people cannot have that word. Adam and Eve, first people, cannot have the word replenish in Genesis 1:28, because that destroys their entire theory of Adam and Eve being the first people on earth, because it shows that there was life previous to people. And Jesus there in Mark 10:6, that he's quoting, quoted Genesis 1:27 here, where it says that male and female were created. It doesn't say Adam and Eve. These people are very good at adding things that aren't there, saying that male and female means Adam and Eve. It doesn't say Adam and Eve. He didn't say Adam and Eve. He said in the beginning, male and female, quoting Genesis 1:27, that any Bible with footnotes will tell you he's quoting. And you can read it yourself. And male and female does not have any definite article in front of it. It just said that God created male and female. When you don't have a definite article, then it means more than one automatically. And that's true in English also, as it is in the Hebrew. And so God created male and female. It didn't say a male and a female. But when you go to Adam, then you see the man, because the definite article the means there was only one man. And you see, you have two different even creation stories here. Because in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, God is commanding both male and female of the different races before Adam and Eve. And he's creating them, he's commanding them both together. Whereas if you go to the Adam story, God only commands Adam before Eve is ever created.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts Adam in a garden to take care of a garden, where he tells pre-Adamic people here to subdue the earth and have dominion over the animals. He doesn't say to male and female, go into a garden and take care of it. And again, he's addressing both male and female of the different races that were created. And a little science is good here. Like I say, forensic science comes to our rescue with the Bible here. Like I say, the Bible and science do not conflict. There was a murder case in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and everybody thought it was a white man doing the killing. And they come to find out it was a black man through DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd like to tell you
That's
more
very
about
interesting.
That
later. We'll pick up on that point, and we'll continue into the second hour. Later on, we'll take some questions for our guests, Mike Riddle and Gene Smith. We'll be back with both of our gentlemen in just 1 minute. Stay tuned for more. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avengers.